Our scripture reading this morning is in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's very familiar probably to most of you, if not all. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus is speaking here to the disciples, and he tells them, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This is God's word to us today. Thanks be to God. Last week we talked about the Beatitudes, which was the beginning of that fifth chapter in Matthew's gospel. And this is a continuation of what Jesus is telling the disciples. And although I don't like segmenting scripture, I don't think we want to stay here for like 2 hours to discuss a very long chapter either. Attention spans, you know, they have a limit. During the Middle Ages, when someone sneezed, the response of people was, "God bless you." And that was because of the fear that that person may have the plague. Words of to ward off the fear of evil, disease, and death. "God bless you." We still do it today, or say "bless you," probably without realizing how that got started. In this fifth chapter of Matthew, especially the beginning with the Beatitudes, Jesus takes words of blessing and turns them, rather than words of fear, into words of joy and delight and the new life that God offers to us. As we talked a little bit about last week, we need a little running start from last week to really fully embrace what Jesus is talking about in these short verses about salt and light. The Beatitudes is not contain conditions of blessing. Rather, they are blessings, statement of fact, statement of truth. The word blessing is you are on the right path when you are humble or poor in spirit, and so on. We also agreed last week that the Beatitudes reflect God's character and God's nature, and we know God's very basic, simple nature is love. Agape is the word in the Greek, and it's a word for a type of love that is not dependent on the people who are being loved. It totally flows out of the character and the person who is loving. So the love that God has for us is without condition because it's coming from God. It flows from the very nature of who God is. Jesus, God in the flesh, came, and he begins this very important sermon, if you will, Sermon on the Mount, blessing the people who were there. And, you know, the stories of Jesus that we read in the Gospels, Jesus continues to bless people with not only his words, but with the way he treats people, with the ministry, the miracles, the healing, the affirming of people. And Jesus is blessing all kinds of people. All kinds, ordinary people like you and me. He's blessing people who are down and out, people who are extremely vulnerable, people who are at the bottom of the ladder. And why? Jesus came to earth to proclaim the fact that God regularly and routinely shows up in mercy and blessing where you would least expect to find God. In that day, it was true, and it's true today. Think about it. When Jesus was born, what was his first bed? It was a manger of hay where the animals were. And the person Who was the group of people that the announcement was made to in the night sky? It was the angels proclaiming to the shepherds that Messiah was born. In those days, the shepherds were at the bottom of the ladder. It was a dirty, smelly, icky job. And you didn't, well, enough said. You see, God showed up with the poor rather than the rich, with those mourning instead of celebrating, the meek and the peacemakers rather than the strong and victorious. Jesus didn't hang out in the winner's circle, you know. The same is true today, and we need to hear this often and regularly. We need to be reminded of what is true, both of about God and of ourselves. Just as I told the children, we need to hear this on a regular basis. One of the ways that we take in the truth is, as individuals or as families, we pray together, we read scripture together, we also do it as individual daughters and sons of God, and the other way is in community with each other here to hear the truth. In worship, the word is proclaimed through the singing, through the instrumental, through the choir, through the silence, through our prayers, through the word read and the word preached. All the way through, we have made ourselves available to God in worship, inviting God's Spirit to come and change us as we worship. Today we get messages from all different directions. We get messages, you know, of course, on television. We get messages in the newspaper. Whether we read the newspaper in its printed form or we read the news on an iPad or a laptop, we get messages on our phones. We get emails. We have the television. We have the radio. You walk into some stores and there are flat screens and they're just telling you things, just, you know, bombarding us with information. I try to stay away from those stores. I need my peace and quiet. But we're getting these messages from, you're getting messages here right now from me. It's hard to get away from it. And these messages, this information has a tendency to influence us one way or the other. If it's a marketing message, they want to influence you to buy their product because it's going to make you younger and skinnier and taller and all sorts of things like that, more successful. If we stop and think about it, we realize that God and God's ways of being are not reflected very much in the world today, and certainly not in the messages that are bombarding us all the time. That's why we need the regular reminding of who God is and what God says about us, because that is true and dependable. In this passage, after the Beatitudes, which we read last week, what Jesus is saying, he's saying, let me tell you why you're here. Listen to the way the Message translation puts it. It's a little bit easier to wrap our minds around, and it's a simpler way of understanding what Jesus is saying, because what Jesus is telling us is very important, and it's not to be missed. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be the salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not to be kept secret. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you here on a hilltop, on a light stand, I want you to shine. I want you to keep open house. Be hospitable. I want you to be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God. this generous parent who is in heaven. It gives us a little bit better idea of what Jesus is talking about here. You see, in the Beatitudes, as they reflect God, and Jesus is God incarnate, Jesus shows us what this means because the Beatitudes do show Jesus. What I just read from the message, this is our calling. This is why we're here. Ordinary people like you and me, bringing out the God flavors and the God colors in the world. Salt will alter or enhance the flavor of our food, among other things, but we're going to stick with this for right now. You see, with Jesus telling the disciples exactly who they were, salt and light, he was telling them that they had the capacity to elicit good in their daily lives. We read about it in the book of Acts. After Jesus has ascended to the Father and the Holy Spirit is poured out on the disciples, they go to work. Like Jesus, what they were ordained to do, commissioned to do, was to disorder the status quo of their day, to disorder it by valuing the people who were dispossessed, caring for the people who were mourning loss, being peacemakers, and being courageous, standing by their beliefs and their convictions, standing by Jesus their Lord, even if it meant their very lives. Light enables us to see things. It's also a type of energy that gives color, helps vegetation grow, and can even provide solar power for us. You see, the disciples, when I say disciples, in Jesus' time, it's we as disciples, as a gathered faith community, have the overarching purpose of being the mirror that reflects God's light, God's justice and mercy to the world around them. Last week, we talked about being a mirror and reflecting God to others. That's our calling, plain and simple. You see, a calling is always a demonstration of God's love and God's initiative. In other words, God always acts first. God always speaks first. And it leads us to realize and appreciate the fact that God takes us seriously, very seriously. First and foremost, our calling, which is our engagement with the world in response to God, we're called to be followers of Jesus, called to become the people that God created us to be and that sin has distorted. We also have a specific call, which you may consider your gifts or your life's work. It's something uniquely you that helps make the world a better place. And it's really becoming a full follower of Jesus when we take our gifts out into the world and use them. You know people like that, a musician, someone who plays without lessons. It's just in them, and they can't not play. Think of a child who's drumming from the time they're little. They're always drumming on something, and they grow up, and they continue to drum. Our daughter, Melissa, when she was in grammar school, and after school, she would come home, take her little brother, Eric, up to her room, take out the little play school easel, sit him down in the play school student's desk, and start teaching him the things that she had learned that day in school, sometimes with a very loud voice. We knew early on that Melissa was going to be a teacher. Well, she tried out other things through high school and college, but she came back to teaching. After college, she couldn't get a job with her psychology major, and so she turned to substitute teaching. She said the first day she stepped foot in the classroom as a sub, she knew that's where she belonged. Well, we knew that, but she had to find her own way. And now she is she's an amazing teacher. She's respected and valued and appreciated not only by her students and the students that tend to be pushed aside, but also by the administration and her colleagues. Then there's the immediate calling that we have. The immediate calling, it's the tasks and everyday duties and responsibilities that we have. What God is calling us to do today. And this is all as salt and light. Today, what do we have to do today? Make lunch? Bring our kids for a play date? Go to work and be a friend to other people? Go to the store to buy the food for lunch? These are the immediate callings. To attend Nick's soccer game, for instance. To take a child to a rehearsal or a practice. This is our immediate calling as salt and light. And when we do this, we have the opportunity to reflect God to other people without even mentioning God's name, without mentioning the name of Jesus, just by being who we are as salt and light and blessing people without even saying the word blessing. Yesterday, my husband went to Lowe's, and he had some work done. Some valances weren't cut properly the day before, and they were very busy in the window covering department. And the two women who were working, they were frustrated, but they fixed it, and it was good, and Gerard thanked them and told them what a good job they did, and he appreciated them. Then he went to the store manager, and he told me that she looked like she was expecting to get bawled out. But that's not what happened. And he told her what a good job these two women did and commended them in the midst of their busy, frustrating afternoon for taking the time to rectify the situation. And she said, "We don't hear enough of that." Gerard was being salt and light, and he was blessing these people, plain and simple. Have you ever had an experience like that? Just to put a smile on somebody's face, maybe in the midst of a busyness or chaos or something, or a child who's sad, just a kind word. That's being salt and light. That's reflecting God to other people. Can salt really become unsalty? Really? I don't think so. I think the most that salt can do is be dissolved in a liquid. And then it's still bringing saltiness to that liquid. A candle under a bushel basket, either the flame would be snuffed out or it would start a fire. That's why I believe that Jesus is telling the disciples who they are, plain and simple. It's not a condition. Be salty or you're going to get thrown in the garbage. But Jesus is saying, this is who you are. This is something that we need to be reminded of on a regular basis. We need to remind each other. We need to listen when we come to worship, to hear what it is, what truth is it that God is reminding us of in our worship. This is who you are. You've heard statistics about children and regarding the messages that they receive about themselves. A child's self-esteem is influenced and shaped by the messages that they hear. The statistics say a child hearing a negative message about who they are, it takes 10 positive messages to undo that and bring the child back to where they started. In other words, children become and believe what they're called. A bad child or you're bad. Eventually the child or the teen will begin to live into that name that they are called. If you tell a child that they're worthless or unlovable or shameful, then that's what they're becoming. On the other hand, in the same way, if you call us good and useful and dependable and helpful and important and vital to God's work in the world, we believe it. And we start living into that identity and behavior as well. We are salt and light. You are salt and light. And your calling is to bring out the God flavors and the God colors in the world around you every day in everything that you do. really, I'd like you to do a little something. What I would like you to do is to help me start a salt and light log. Now, it's not going to be a blog, just a log with an L. I would like you to email to me or write it down on a piece of paper and hand it to me, put it in my mailbox, where you have, let me see, where God has worked through you to help somebody else, where you have been the reflected God to other people. You've brought out the God flavors, the God colors around you. It's very simple. I've already given you a couple of examples. And if you feel uncomfortable doing that, if you think you're boasting, I don't think that's boasting. That's just saying something good about yourself, saying who your true identity is. I mentioned Gerard. I wasn't boasting. I was giving you an example. I talked about our daughter. It's just who she is. She's a teacher. My email, excuse me. Okay, that's better. Sorry. My email is on the back of the bulletin. It's pastor@firstpresaub.com. And it can be just one phrase, one statement. And do it as often as it comes to you, as often as you realize that you have been used by God in the life of another person. Send it on to me. This is great because we need to be encouraged. We need to share it. This is going to help us as a church in two ways. It's going to help us start looking for God in the world, which is really a skill that many of us sorely lack. And it's also going to help us come to believe that we are vessels through which God is working. We know that God has worked through Billy Graham tremendously around the world. We're not all called to be Billy Graham. We are called to be salt and light where God has us at the time. And we're ordinary people. God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. A small act of kindness is just as powerful as parting the Red Sea. So know this. Know that you have been created to be salt and light. And share it with me, please. Share it with each other. I don't want to have to keep all this to myself. And who knows where this will go from here. Let's pray.